The Good People, written by Hannah Kent and read by Caroline Lennon. There was an old woman and she lived in the woods. Weela weela walya. There was an old woman and she lived in the woods, down by the river Solya. She had a baby 3 months old. Weela weela walya. She had a baby 3 months old, down by the river Solya. She had a penknife long and sharp. Weela weela walya. She had a penknife long and sharp, down by the river Solya. She stuck the penknife in the baby's heart. Weela weela walya. She stuck the penknife in the baby's heart, down by the river Solya. Three hard knocks came knocking on the door. Weela weela walya. Three hard knocks came knocking on the door, down by the river Solya. Are you the woman that killed the child? Weela weela walya. Are you the woman that killed the child? Down by the river Solya. The rope was pulled and she got hung. Weela weela walya. The rope was pulled and she got hung. Down by the river Solya. And that was the end of the woman in the woods. Weela weela walya. And that was the end of the woman in the woods. Down by the river Solya. Traditional Irish murder ballad, circa 1600. When all is said and done, how do we not know but that our own unreason may be better than another's truth? For it has been warned on our hearths and in our souls, and is ready for the wild bees of truth to hive in it and make their sweet honey. Come into the world again, wild bees, wild bees. W.B. Yeats, The Celtic Twilight. Part 1. Death is the physician of the poor. Lia Gach Buicht Boss. 1825. Chapter 1. Coltsfoot. Nora's first thought when they brought her the body was that it could not be her husband's. For one long moment she stared at the men bearing Martin's weight on their sweating shoulders, standing in the gasping cold, and believed that the body was nothing but a cruel imitation. A changeling, brutal in its likeness. Martin's mouth and eyes were open, but his head slumped on his chest, and there was no quick in him. The blacksmith and the ploughman had brought her a lifeless stock. It could not be her husband. It was not him at all. Martin had been digging ditches beside the fields that sloped the valley, Peter O'Connor said. He had seen him stop, place a hand on his chest like a man taking an oath, and fall to the gentle ground. He had not given a shout of pain. He had gone without farewell or fear. Peter's chapped lips trembled, eyes red-rimmed in their sockets. I'm sorry for your trouble, he whispered. Nora's legs collapsed beneath her then, and in the fall to the dirt and straw of the yard, she felt her heart seize with terrible understanding. John O'Donoghue, his thick forearms scar-speckled from ironwork, heaved Martin over his shoulder so that Peter was able to lift Nora out of the mud. Both men were dark-eyed with grief, and when Nora opened her mouth to scream and found that she had choked on it, they bowed their heads as though they hurt her anyway. Peter wrested the chicken feed from Nora's clenched fists and kicked the clucking hens from the doorstep. Placing her arm around his shoulders, he led her back inside the cabin to sit by the hearth where her grandchild, Micheál, was sleeping in the unfolded settle bed. The little boy, his cheeks flushed from the heat of the turf fire, stirred as they entered. And Nora noticed Peter's eyes flicker to him in curiosity. John followed them inside, his jaw clenched with the weight of Martin's body, and his boots tracking mud over the packed clay floor.